I can tell you one thing. There's no better place than being here worshiping with you guys. We do have an amazing church. So thank you. And man, I've been listening to the podcast, Matt Rowan and Jim Haley, the last couple weeks. What amazing messages. If you missed it, maybe you're on vacation like some of us have been, check out the podcast. It has been phenomenal. So we are super excited. We have a huge gift for you today. And I'm going to talk about that in a second. But we've been in a series called Shuffle. And, you know, just like when you're on Spotify, I don't know about you, but I like so many different types of music that my wife kind of makes fun of me because in one time it's like rap, and then all of a sudden it's like, you know, and then also I'm listening to some country. Not like that country. I'm talking about like, you know, the good country, you know, like Johnny Cash, like the real country. I'm not just in the real country today. I'm just saying Johnny Cash started it. And so I'll go from there, and I'll go to the Beatles, and I'll listen to some Imagine Dragons. And so it's like this shuffle. And so we thought in July that we would just kind of bring a little bit of that, a little bit of different styles, a little bit of different genres to hear from different people. Because guess what? We can learn from everybody. Am I right? Doesn't matter who it is, what kind of preaching style it is. Jesus is a pastor of this house, and he's the leader of this house. And it doesn't matter. It's not about a person. It's about Jesus. But we're grateful for that. And today, we have a very special friend. Him and his wife came, but let me tell you real fast. Pastor Brian Sanders is a real hero of mine. You are. You're a hero of mine, and he is, and let me tell you why. Not because he has an amazing church who loves Jesus, not because every single week they're seeing unchurched people come through those doors, and not because just the excellence they have and everything they do, and not just because his wife is way better than him and he married out of his league easily. Not because he has five kids and makes me wonder how I can barely do it with two kids and they have five, right? Or is it six, seven, eight? I can't remember. Five. It was a joke. It's five. But the real reason why is when I was 25 and my wife was 22 and we felt God called us to start a church in Pontiac, we decided to go to Elevate and Morton and just check some things out with a couple of our team that helped launch this. And they did not hesitate to believe in us. And I think that's why I'm going to get teary-eyed, but that's why I really believe in them, because they look at a 25-year-old and 22-year-old and say, well, I think we're going to start a church, knowing everything it would take to start a church, and they didn't go, oh, sit down, that's adorable, it's going to kill you, right? Like, do they know? Like, I'm sure behind closed doors, they're like, we need to pray hard for these two, and they have, but they believed in us, and they encouraged us, and their team band around us, and they helped us, and they spoke into us, and we had no money, and they flew us out to Dallas so we could go to a conference and get learned, you know, grow in there, which now we're a part of that network. And I just got to preach last week of someone in that network because they took time to get us out there, and pastors who speak into us, and not just that, he serves as one of our board members that helps hold me accountable, and you guys should be very thankful that I have someone like Brian in my life that can make sure I'm doing a good service to you guys. So, from the pumpkin capital of the world, Morton, Illinois, can you do me a favor and welcome my friend, Pastor Brian Sanders? Live on. Oh.
All right, Authentic Church. Whoa. How many of you love your church? How many of you love Jesus? And how many of you love your amazing pastor, Sean and Lizzie? Well, you may be seated. Turn to the person next to you and say, I waited to sit next to you all week. Well, let me brag on Sean and Lizzie for just a moment. I want to tell you that, man, we love these guys. They love the Lord. And I'm actually a firm believer that everybody needs a pastor. Not a pastor to have coffee with, per se, every week or whatever. Everyone needs a pastor who will seek God on their behalf for their community, for their lives. And because you never know when God's going to use them to deposit something into your life. And actually, in Ephesians, it says that pastors, prophets, they're gifts to the church. So your pastors, whether you realize it or not, Jesus gave you them as gifts. They're a gift to you. And as a father with five kids, we don't have one on the way, right, Danielle? Just check it. Okay, so we still have five. Just want to make sure. The number kept growing. I was like, did they talk about something in the back room that I was not a part of? But they're gifts to the church. And so as a father who gives his children gifts, how they take care of the gift that I gave them the first time depends on the gifts I'll give them the next time slightly. You know what I'm saying? So we want to honor our pastors. We want to love them. And it's a value. That's what honor is all about. It's really about value. And God has dropped back. He sent you them into your lives, not only them as pastors, but other volunteer leaders. And so if you can get that spiritual truth down about honor and about value, if you'll receive what God has for you through them, sometimes it's encouragement. Sometimes it's challenge. Sometimes it's correction. How many of you love correction? Oh, no one smiles at that. Never at any church, Sean. But whatever it is, if you'll honor them, God will do incredible things in your life. We love them. We're proud of them. Hey, Sean is teachable. He has that spirit. Ask, always seeking knowledge. When you have people in your life who are teachable, man, they can go far in life. Most of the people that I've seen in my life who maybe have had less talent, yet they've had a teachable spirit will take you far in life, in your job, in your church, and in your relationship with God. So, man, we love them. We're proud of them. My better half is here. Sean is absolutely right. I married way up. We've been married for almost 20 years. Is that incredible or what? I know most of you were thinking, man, he's not a day older than 29, but we were not married when we were 12, so we're getting up there. We have 5 children, and most people will say, you know how that happens, and you know we hear that a lot. You know how that happens, don't you? I'm like, yes, we did not fail health class back in junior high days. And so they'll say, you must like kids, and it's like, no, my wife just likes me, and that's how it is. So 20 years almost, 5 children. Man, life has been good. God has blessed us in tremendous ways, and we're excited about what God's going to do in here today. And I believe church should be the funnest place on the planet. We should have fun. We should laugh because our Father in heaven, he loves it when his children have a good time in church. And there's something powerful when the people of God gather together in the presence of God, in the place of God. They do the plan of God. Powerful things happen. And man, it's happening here at Authentic Church. Keep being authentic because there's a lot of artificial stuff out there. So keep being you. Well, are you ready to have fun today? Well, let me introduce my family real quick and then we'll get going. That was my intro. Now we start the clock. Here's my family. We have, of course, my beautiful wife, Danielle. Isaiah, he's 16. He's about to drive. I'll take any counseling lessons from you who have had children driving. We have Isaiah, Addie, she's the only girl. Titus, Judah, and Luke. I said Judah, not to be confused with Judas. Every once in a while, I've had someone say, you named your kid Judas. Yeah, idiot. I'm a pastor who named his kid after the guy who betrayed Jesus. Come on now. No, the tribe leader, Judah, and then Luke at the bottom. And so here we are. Now, I want you to travel back with me in time, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, where Titus and Judah, here they are. Now, don't be confused by their good looks with this hat. I think we have this photo right here. Go to the next one. Bam, there they are. Great picture. That's a great picture. But don't be confused by that picture. Danielle and I were in a department store, and Titus and Judah were with us. And I gravitated towards the toy aisle, and I like toys. And sometimes my wife says, are we at the toy aisle for the children or for you? Oftentimes it's for me, but I can blame it on the children. So I'm at the toy aisle, and then all of a sudden my wife gives me this look. Where's Titus? And I have no shame in my game as a pastor, as a dad. So I began walking through the department store. And I have to tell you, I would never throw this department store under the bus because I'm just a pastor who would not do that. I wouldn't do that. Maybe you work there. And I began yelling extremely loud, Titus! Where are you? Titus! And I'm looking around the store and people are looking at me like I have gone cray-cray, as my daughter says, crazy. And I'm just saying, Titus, and I don't care. And I realize people are looking at me. And let me tell you about this department store. This is so incredible. These people are so faithful to their job that when you lose a child and you're looking for help, yelling, Titus, they're so committed to their job that they'll keep doing their job. Now, I don't know if it's because of all the red logo, the red carts, the red shirts. Maybe they're not good at helping you target your children, but I would never throw any store under the bus because I'm a pastor, and we don't do that stuff, Sean. We don't do that. So I don't know what it is. And finally, oh, man, I see him. And I have this kind of moment where, like, my first response is you're about to get a beatdown. That's my first response. But I said, I'm going to change it just a moment. I don't know if it's the Holy Spirit of God just had this prompting, so I kneel down. And there's Titus, blonde hair, blue eyes. And one time he got out of a lake and his chest was all bronze, like Brad Pitt-like. And it was weird because in the department store, the same thing began to happen. Wind began to hit his hair and his head began to bobble back and forth. His little blue eyes popped right out of his head. And I said, Titus, what would you say if you were the father and I was the son? And he would have said, oh, Titus, there you are over by the fart stuff. And I said, the fart stuff? You mean FLARP? AKA FLARP? Have you seen FLARP? You mean to tell me, Titus, FLARP, you know, the stuff you take your finger and you put it in and it makes the noise. You mean to tell me, Titus, you left your father, you left your mom because you were chasing FLARP? The fart stuff? We've been yelling your name in this store, chasing you? And I thought, you know what? That's exactly what a lot of people are doing. They're chasing FLARP. Are you chasing FLARP? Look to the next person next to you and just say, FLARP. Are you FLARPing? Are you FLARPing? Students, are you FLARPing? Moms and dads, are you FLARPing? Grandparents, are you FLARPing? Church staff members, are you FLARPing? Board members, are you FLARPing? Many of us begin to chase FLARP stuff, stuff in life that really doesn't matter. And what are you chasing? What are you going to live your life and get to the, how are you going to live your life, get to the end of it and go, wow, did I do what the Father was about or did I chase the FLARP stuff? And now you might be thinking, why should I listen to him? A pastor lost his kick. Can you believe that? Don't judge me. Let's go back to Luke chapter 2, verse 43. Man, I love this story. This is a good one, man. This is great. This is great encouragement for parents. Parents, how many of you have lost your children before? Let's see them. It's dark in here, but hands are going up everywhere. Yes, I see you in the back, in the back. Yes, confession time, confession. We might have an altar call, Sean. Verse 43, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Why was Jesus in Jerusalem? Because it was the Passover. The Passover is the celebration where God rescued his people from Pharaoh, from slavery. And Jesus, or Moses, is a type of Jesus. He's a shadow. He showed him the way. And so here we have Jesus, third Passover. It's celebration time. Oh, no, man, my shoe came untied. Turn to the person next to you real quick and say, are you FLARPing again? Turn to your second choice. Thank you. My undiagnosed ADD will kick in. There's no way I would make it through this sermon with one untied shoe. Just, I would feel like I was FLARPing around. So here we are. The boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. So Mary and Joseph were like, come on, guys, let's go. They're Instagramming the photos from the trip. They're on their way back. And it says, Jesus stayed behind, but they, Mary and Joseph, were unaware of it. Verse 44, thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. A day. I lost Titus for 10 minutes, but they lost the Son of God for a day. But some people maybe even here have lost him for longer than that. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. And after not just a day, 3 days, they found him in the temple court sitting among the teachers listening to them, asking them questions. Humility, asking questions. Everyone who had heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were, help me out, church, all together, 1, 2, 3. Oh, let's say it like we actually believe it. They were? Mary said, son, why have you treated us like this? You've been there, parents. Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Jesus says, why were you searching for me? Did you not know I must be in my father's house? Another translation says my father's business, or as they say in Pontiac maybe, business. I must be about my father's business. So are you about the business or are you FLARPing? FLARPing, chasing stuff that doesn't matter, or the father's business. Translation, making Jesus famous, making Jesus known. Matthew 28, 19 through 20, go into all the world. Jesus said, go. He wasn't like, yo. He said, go. Two-thirds of God's name is go. Go into all the world, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Don't you ever get to heaven and get there, and you're next to Sean, and you're like, hey, Sean, you didn't tell me about that. No, I know your pastor has told you about that. It's commanded over and over in the Gospels, in Luke and Mark. Preach, go. John, just as I sent them, I'm sending you. All of us are called to go. All of us have a sphere of influence. You do. I do. You have people that I can't reach. I know people that you can't reach. Are you chasing the fart stuff? Flarp? Flarping? Or are you about the Father's business? We got to be about it. And if we're going to be about it, where does that business start? It starts right in our hearts. What's happening in your heart? I mean, let's just be real. This is authentic, church. Let's be authentic. What's happening in your heart? The number one thing you are called to do in this lifetime, and I believe until Jesus is actually the center of your life, your marriage, your relationships will never be what they could be. And you're chasing stuff that it can never be because you were created and made in the image of God. And so Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all of your heart, and with all of your mind. So if that's the number one thing we're called to do, then we've got to be about making Jesus famous first in our hearts. What's happening in your heart? Man, there are too many believers, wounded warriors, down and out disciples, depressed, suffering and dealing with addictions. Maybe you've gone through some type of betrayal and you are flarping. I mean, you're wounded. I mean, you can't get over the betrayal. You can't get over the hurt. And I want to tell you, if this is the only message I have for you, you are not a victim. You are not. You are a victor in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 says, we have the victory through Christ. It's Jesus. Hey, the abuse, the betrayal, didn't change that it happened. Doesn't mean that it was right, but we know in Romans 8, 28 says that God works together for the good of those who loved him, who are called according to his purposes. God works everything. He'll work it out. He'll work it out. What's happening in your heart? Is there just, man, you just can't let it go. You just can't forgive. I know that this is shuffle playlist week, but let me sing you a song. Let it go. Let it go. I'm a little rusty. Man, let it go. That's what forgiveness means. Hey, let it go. Here you go. On their behalf, the person who wounded you, he, she, they, them, I'm sorry. Okay, there you go. I came here to tell you, I'm sorry. On their behalf. They'll never say it to you. And if you're waiting for someone to say it to you, you can be waiting till Jesus returns. Move on with your life. Also, in that moment, realize that it was your one sin, just one, that put a Savior on a cross, and they beat him, and they crucified him, and they spit on him, and they mocked him because of your sin. So how quickly we can move into a self-righteous mode. Man, I've been wounded. I've been betrayed. I've been stabbed in the back. Guess what? Join the club. You signed up for this. You did sign up for this. If you're a Christ follower, you signed up for this. If you're a pastor, you signed up for it and then extra credit. I mean, it just is what it is. What's happening in your heart? Are you a wounded warrior? And when you're wounded in your heart, it's difficult to make Jesus famous in his house when you can't make him famous in your heart because you're arguing with God why this happened to you. And again, it doesn't mean God was sitting there going, wow, can't wait for this to happen, this hurt, this pain. No, but he will use it, and he'll turn a mess into a masterpiece. The question is, will you let him? And it's time to move on. For some of us, God has so many great things in store for our lives, and we're wounded in our hearts. Let's let it go. Let's have a meeting with ourselves. Have a meeting with yourself before you leave, you and God, and say, God, I'm going to move on because I want to make your house famous. I want to be about your business. I want to. But that starts, that business, it starts in our hearts. And we can't do the business for him unless we let him do the business in us. And so we got to let him do that. Church, do we got to let him do that? We do. Solomon, remember him? Solomon had 700 wives. David's son, he was the third king. Do you know what 700 wives means, guys? 700 mother-in-laws. All the wise husbands right now are going, if you laugh too loud, hey, that's your own problem on that one. That's not my problem. But Solomon, he said in Proverbs 4:23, he said, guard your heart above all else, for it determines what the course of your life. And Jesus said, whatever's happening in your heart, Matthew 12:34, is happening, it will come out of your mouth. The overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Or King James, speaketh, out of the mouth, whatever you like. But whatever's coming out of your mouth, that's all you have to do. If you want to find out where your heart really is, if you can really make Jesus famous, are you speaking negativity? Are you speaking doubt? Are you speaking fear? Are you stepping out in faith? Hey, I know the situation, the relational wreck isn't going well. But God, we believe and we trust you that you're going to work it all out. God, if there's anything you want me to do, if there's an apology I need to make, if there's an encouragement I need to do, then I'll do it. But what is happening in that? What's happening in that heart? Man, we got to check our hearts. Now, back in the day, I played basketball. Now, I was a ball hog. I never passed the ball. I don't play defense. I just shoot. So if you like to play defense, I'd be good on your team. My stepbrother, we played basketball. He was the Dennis Rodman, if you can remember Dennis Rodman, before Dennis Rodman, back in his day. There are junior hires from that basketball league that still need counseling because of some of the things that he said to them. And we played this thing called a box and one. It's where two guys play kind of a zone in the front, two guys play a zone in the back, and then he chases their best score. And he would get up in their grill, talk about their mom, all of this stuff. But that's what we need to do. We need to play a box and one and guard our hearts. We need to go, hey, what's happening? There's an example of us we've heard over the years. It's called halt. Whenever you're hungry, whenever you're angry, whenever you're lonely, whenever you're tired, that's times where temptation can come. I mean, have you been around some people when they're hungry, run for the hills? I'm hungry. And that's just to their spouse, let alone when they get to the restaurant. Man, my kids, if they miss a meal, it's like foaming at the mouth. I'm like, oh my Lord, never make it on the mission field. But halt, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. What's happening in our hearts? Hey, we got to make Jesus famous. We got to be about the Father's business in our hearts. But then we got to make Jesus famous in our homes. Remember, Jesus' parents, they were unaware. See, you can get Jesus here and leave him here and not take him with you, because that's what Mary and Joseph did physically. They left Jesus at church. We've got to take Jesus from our hearts, but we got to take him to our homes. We got to be about it in our homes. What's happening in your homes? I want to be a much better pastor at home, because that's my first church, than I ever am here. I know many pastors who have lost their marriage, who have lost their children. They're not even serving the Lord. And I want to make it. I want to make it. That's the ultimate message. I believe that the greatest message I ever preach, or Sean and Lizzie will preach, is their message, is their marriage message. That's what I meant to say. Their marriage. And so people will see how I love and encourage Danielle, and she will love and encourage me. In your marriage, you should be your spouse's number one fan. No one should encourage them more than you. No one should build them up more than you. Are you their number one fan in your marriage? And God can work through any marriage mess. Man, we've seen it happen time and time again. What's happening in your home? Are you willing to work through the issues? Most people don't work through the issues. I've realized that. I'm like, most people don't want to work about it. I remember one time Danielle was encouraging someone, and she said, oh, I just have all this issue in our marriage, and we don't know what to do. And Danielle looked at the wife. She said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go home, and I want you to write out everything about your spouse that they need to change. And this lady, she was like, oh, I'm gonna give it to them. Some of you are like, yeah, preach. Preach it. And this lady got excited, and then Danielle goes, okay, you're thinking of that list. Yes, okay, when you write that list, I want you to go home, and for the next several weeks, I want you to flip that list on yourself and ask yourself, do you do those things? And there's one time where my wife, I mean, don't let her beautiful looks and kind charm and spirit, you know, woo you over. One time she just looked at a person and said, hey, until you've done one or two of those things, don't come back and talk to me about this issue again. Hey, sometimes we need people who love us enough to say, hey, until you have been teachable, because if you tell someone something, if they ask something and then they don't go do it, it's like spitting in their face. If you're pointing them to God's word, I'm not giving you bryology here. This isn't the Bible. This is the Bible talk. This is guard your heart. This is go back into your home. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Only one amen on that one. Guys, we're called. Yes, wives are called to submit. Doesn't mean that they're a doormat. Doesn't mean that they lay down. My wife is a much better leader in many areas. Many areas I submit to her. But the interesting thing about that is it says, guys, hey, we're called to die for our wives. There's not a wife that won't die or won't submit to her husband. If the husband is willing to die to themselves, to sacrifice himself for their desires and their dreams. But you have this team going together, cheering one another on. Go, Danny. Go, Danny. Go, Danny. Hey. And then Danielle will go, go, Brian. Go, Brian. Take out those kids, you know. So you've got this teamwork working together. But most people don't want to work it out. Go back with me to the 1970s. Back in the day, how many Apple phone number one fans do we have? You like Apple phones. Okay, there's those other words. It's like a swear word. Android or Samsung, T-Mobile. And back in the 70s, when Steve Jobs created Apple, there was three people on the partnership. Steve Jobs, Steve W., and a guy named by the name of Ronald G. Wayne. Ronnie G. You may not have heard of him. Maybe you have. After today, you'll probably remember him. Ronald G. Wayne. Well, after about 10 days, he looked and said, man, I don't know if I want to work with Steve Jobs. He's a little risky. He's a little, I don't know. So I'm going to take my 10%. And instead of working through it, I'm going to bail out. I'm going to just bail out. I want my 10% stock today. And back in the 70s, he did that. He said, give me my 10%. He got out of the partnership. Do you know how much money he got back in the 70s? 10%. Are you ready? $800. Woo! All the high school students and junior high was like, wow, that guy is loaded. So, $800, as of a couple years ago, do you know how much it would have been worth? $40 billion. So, instead of working it out, working through it, he bailed out instead of broke through. Could it be that some of the greatest things that will happen for the kingdom of God would be when we work through it in our marriages? Work through it in our churches. You got to work it out. And you got to work it out. That's the Father's business. Loving our neighbor as ourself, let alone our spouse, let alone in our homes, let alone in our communities, in our neighborhoods. Man, what's happening in your home? We got to be about the business in our hearts, in our homes. Oh, and of course, my favorite, we've got to be about it in the house. Man, what are you doing? In the house, the greatest things I have in life are from the house. Not the physical building, but the people of God. And powerful things happen when you gather together the people of God into the presence of God. Believers, unbelievers, something happens. There's a faith atmosphere. It's here in this church. God's fog is on it. That's the favor of God. Literally and physically, the fog. It's in here. The favor of God. Man, God just says, you know what, those people, they love me. Could it be said that in Pontiac, Illinois, man, I want to go to a place where I'm going to be worshiped, where they're going to preach my word, my truth, where they're going to do the right stuff behind closed doors, not just the show on the stage, but the show behind the stage. Encouragement, challenge, sometimes rebuke, living that life outside, off the stage. Man, we've got to be about it. The greatest things I have are from the church. Psalm 92, verse 13, 14, you have to look it up. It says, those who are planted in the house of God will flourish in the courts of God. Planted. When you plant something, you don't root it up. You don't hopscotch from this church, from that preacher to that preacher. And that's the culture we're living in. But this is authentic church. And I know that would never happen here, Pastor Sean and Lizzie. And the hilarious thing is, and this messes me up, and I'll just be authentic. What messes me up is I was not raised in the church for almost half of my life. And so one day, this person came to our church who lived up on my neighborhood, who came to our church and saw that we did stuff a little bit different, yet we preached the gospel. The methods changed, but the message never does. It's about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. And then add a little bit more Jesus to it. And this person came to our church when we started. Again, I lived on the same hill. I played on the same baseball team. Never once had they invited me to church. Never once had they invited me to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. My family was on their way to a highway to hell. Can we get that on the playlist? That's where we were going. I mean, it just is what it is. She comes into our church and she starts asking all of these questions, negative, about why we're doing this and why we're doing that. Eeyore, I don't know, Pooh. I'm like, who cares? Like, people were coming to know Jesus. And yet, we do that in the church. Seriously? I can't imagine with my other children if when I was yelling, Titus, where are you? If one of my children, my daughter, came up to me and said, hey, Dad, when are we going to go get that ice cream? When are we going to go get that ice cream? Your brother's lost. There's crazy people out here. I might have to kill someone today, take them out, because they're trying to take Titus. When can we go get ice cream? Hey, Dad, are you going to buy me that shirt? What? Do we do that in the church? Just as a father, I would have been irritated by their inactivity. Could it be that maybe sometimes in our churches, the father's irritated by our inactivity? Oh, why are we doing that song? Why do we change that? Why do we start the experience a little bit later? Oh, why did we change the small groups for a season? Why didn't Pastor Sean preach for 3 weeks? Man, must be nice. I'd love to have 3 weekends off. Must be nice. Saw them at the beach on Instagram. Wow, must be nice. Someone better check the church's finances. Oh, man. I mean, if you want to go Bible, I mean, again, most people, Lizzie, they don't want to go Bible, though, do they? Most people don't, because last time I checked, it actually says double an honor, like double a wage. So, like, you preach, you teach, double it. Not, oh, Lord, we'll keep him poor and you keep him humble. I guarantee you, any pastor who's serving the Lord, their goal financially is to be the most generous person in the church. And I'll bet you cash money, if I were to look at all the names of people who give and don't give, I bet you, you would look at them and they would be on that list and we would go, whoa, why are they in the top 10? They shouldn't be in the top 10. You should be in the top 10. But again, that's just Bible stuff. So that was like a tangent. Sorry about that. We'll edit that on the podcast. They won't get that in the second experience, but just maybe you guys will. So we got to be about it in the house. Faithfulness. And the thing that most people are chasing, they're chasing faithfulness. They want a faithful spouse. They want a faithful boss. They want faithful kids. They want God to be faithful to them. And God is faithful even when we're not faithful. But they want faithfulness. And they look at other people. They look at other seasons of life. And they say, you know what? I want that. I want that. I want that. Well, you don't know what they paid to get that. I want the grass that's green like theirs. Well, let me tell you something. Sometimes it's spray painted. Other times they've watered it a lot. So faithfulness isn't Jesus, the one who told us a story and said, you know, people will come and hopefully the Father will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Like, that's what we want Jesus to say to us at the end of our lives. And so in order to hear well done, we had to do something with our lives. The Father's business. We had to be faithful to show up. We had to be faithful to serve. Where are you serving? If you're not serving, you're swerving. There's nothing more like Jesus than giving and
somebody's getting fired.
only for about 20 minutes, and then you'll hire him back. That's what I love to do. Every once in a while, I'm like, somebody's getting fired. Faithfulness, well done. Servant, are you serving? Where are you serving? Every single person in here should be serving. I'm like, God's not asking you to quit your job. Maybe he is. I don't know. But he's asking you to give up a weekend of your life. Come to the house, show up to the house, and serve in the house. Serving. The Gospel of Mark is all about a suffering servant. You can't be like Jesus if you're not serving. So I love to ask people, hey, how long have you been here? Where are you serving? Oh, I'm not serving. So you're here to hear about Jesus, but not like be like Jesus. The goal is to be like Jesus. That's the goal. Turn to the person next to you and say, that definitely was for you. And all the people are laughing like, that wasn't for me. So we got to be about it in his house. And check this out. Two very cool things. Jesus is in the house. This is cool. This is good stuff. And they were unaware that Jesus was still there. Well, LeBron James isn't the chosen one. Jesus was the Hebrew hype. Jesus was the one. He was like a junior hire talking to the religious Einsteins of his day. And this is the cool thing. In the Jewish culture, when you were 12, Jesus was... When you were 12, that's the age where the Jewish people said, you go about and do your father's trade, your father's business. So Jesus was doing his father's business. But if you only see Jesus as a carpenter, because that's what Joseph was, then you only get someone to fix your house physically. But if you see Jesus as the Messiah, you'll get someone who can fix your life. Jesus can do that. And so we show up, we serve, and of course, we sow, we bring it back to the storehouse. You know, there's only two things in the Bible that God says are mine. Mine. I have a four-year-old. That's mine. That's mine. God says, revenge is mine. And he says, the tithe, it's mine. Now I'm going to step on some toes. My favorite part of the whole experience. Are you driving God's tithe? Are you living in God's tithe? Are you vacationing with God's tithe? What is the tithe? The tithe is the tenth. It's God's portion. And you may think you're doing that. God always gets the tithe. God always gets the tithe. You might say, well, I've got a good life. You should see these cars we drive. I've got the BMW. I live in a boathouse. I've got a boathouse. Man, I've got it. Man, the bank account is rolling. What do you mean God gets the tithe? Yeah, but you don't know what you could have. You only know what you have. We live by faith, not by sight. And so you think you've got it. And if Jesus really changes your life, and I prayed about this, and I said, I really believe this. I really believe that there's a Zacchaeus here. Zacchaeus, a wee little man. Sorry, Sean. But Jesus came to his house. Zacchaeus' life changed. He believed. But there was a change. If there's a change, there's action. ACTION, there's action. And Zacchaeus not only changed on the inside, but he put it from his mind, from his heart to his mind to his hand to help God's plan. He actually went back and paid it. And maybe there's a Zacchaeus here, and you've been robbing God for years. And this isn't to guilt you. This is to grace you. Make it today. I know that there are people in a financial mess, and you need God's grace. You need some help, and that's okay. Over 50% of the people are dealing with financial issues. 70% plus are struggling. The stress, you feel it. And the church, they know about it. But I'm a firm believer, as someone who was not raised in the church. When I came into the church and I experienced Jesus Christ and he changed my life, I thought, man, how can I not give back to help change other people's lives? And maybe you don't have much, but God's not looking for everything. He's asking you to give all of your life, everything. But man, just imagine if you brought it back. And as during the offering, we read that Malachi verse. God says, test me in this. I mean, have you really tested him? God says it. Like, throw down, double dare. Like, bring the tithe back and watch what I'll do. I'm a firm believer, and I've seen it happen in my life as I've been tithing for over 20 years. There's not many things you could look at my life and go, wow, I'm going to do that. Like, I'm going to wear those really tight pants. How does he move around with that? But I can tell you, I've brought the tithe. And above and beyond, God has been so faithful to our lives. Sometimes above and beyond, sometimes we've just given the tithe, trusted the Lord. Doesn't mean our cars don't break down. See, if you speed and you slam on the brakes, you're going to need new brakes. That's not God's fault. But if you take care of God's house, God will take care of your house. We show up to the house, we serve in the house, we sow back to the house, and then we share. We share. If you're not concerned about the souls of others, I'm concerned about your soul. The heartbeat. Man, have we started chasing the FLARP? Are people who don't know Christ coming in and experiencing the life-changing message of Jesus Christ? And if you can't remember what that was like the last time you shared with someone, the last time you invited someone, make a commitment today. God, I'm called to be about the Father's business. Hey, just come and see what God could do in your life. Go back to your story. What did Jesus save you from? Hell. Why do we do what we do? Hell. Because people are lost and they're hurting. As the great theologian Optimus Prime told us when in regards to sowing and giving, he said there's no victory without sacrifice. Sacrifice. And we sacrifice in the house. We sow and we share. Many people at the end of their life will look back on their life and they won't say, I did too much for God, but many, sadly, will say, I did too little. What are you going to do? James 1:17 tells us that faith by itself, without what? There's that word, accompanied by action. It's what? It's useless. It's dead. So we've got to put the action behind what we're doing and do it. I remember several years ago in our church, a guy, he was dealing with cancer. He was younger than I am. And his fiance at the time said he would come to church and he would say he would have to pull over because he was so sick on the inside. And he'd pull over and they said, we just need to go back home. Let's go back home. They say, no, he's like, I've got to get to the church because something happens when I'm at church. The faith that happens when I get in the presence of God with the people of God, there's a power. Well, this young man would end up losing his life. The battle to cancer. He lost in this life, but really he won in the next life. And if he could, he wouldn't come back. I went and did the funeral. And at the funeral, there are certain moments, certain actions that create astonishing results. Because this is what this is about. This is about the Father's house. This is about people seeing Jesus, about us being about the Father's business, and then us seeing astonishing things happen. I went to the funeral, and then I went to the gravesite. And there on the gravesite, this guy was a race car driver. Was his car number on this other casket, his favorite football team, and the Elevate Church logo. I've never been to a funeral where people put the Elevate Church logo on the casket. It was a reminder that death is just a transition from this life to the next life. And even in his death, he was about the Father's business. So my question to you, will you be about the Father's business, not just in death, but in life? Titus! That was loud. Where are you? And that's the question I have for you today. Where are you? Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, thank you for every person that's here. Jesus, may we make you famous in our hearts, in our homes, and God, in your house. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you're so faithful and you're so good. Jesus, someone here today in their hearts, they are distant from you. And the Bible tells us that if we call on his name, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord would be saved. If you need to get right with God and just say, man, I am distant from God, but I want to return to him. Hey, you just make this your prayer. Just say, Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending your son to die on a cross for me. God, I receive your son for the forgiveness of my sins. And I want to be made right with you today. As I'm praying that, is there anyone that would say, hey, Pastor Brian, please pray for me. I need to be made right with God. Would you just lift up your hand and say, hey, I'm praying that. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you, sir, for your honesty. Is there anybody else you'd say, Jesus, I want to make sure that I'm right with you. Until Jesus is the center of your life will never be what it could be. Thank you for your honesty. Just say, God, I receive everything you have for me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lead me and guide me all the days of my life. Today is the most important day of my life. As I give my life to you. Others of us, we need to take Jesus back to our homes. We need to make Jesus famous in his house and that he would get all the praise and he would get all the glory. Father, we thank you for what you're doing here at Authentic Church. God, we pray, we believe that you're gonna do above and beyond anything they could ever hope for, anything that they could dream or imagine. And God, we are thankful today that you're about to start doing astonishing things as we are about the Father's business. Church, how many of you love your God? How many of you love your King? Hey, would you stand up onto your feet? Let's thank our God.
Come on, let's give it up for Jesus one more time. We're going to sing this song. Let's be about the Father's business, am I right? We can spend so much time complaining about everything else, but people don't need our complaint, they need Jesus, right? So let's worship one more time. Aren't you grateful that Pastor Brian came all the way from Elevate, his wife? Thank you for that word. Let's sing it and declare it right now. Come on.